Well, I have to apologize right up front because relationships is a rather big subject, and I'm not going to get much touched in 15 to 20 minutes. Unless, of course, you want me to be up here for an hour or so, but probably not. There are tons of textbooks and self-help books that have been written about relationships, and still that more can be written because as the world changes, so does the face of our relationships. We have technology that reduces the need to be in face-to-face relationships. We can simply text instead of having a personal conversation. We can email instead of writing a letter. Some of you may ask, what's writing a letter? You use your hand, whichever hand you have. Anyway, we have managed to depersonalize our relationships to a certain extent. Many relationships today have no resemblance to the relationship model God gave us, and I will speak to that a little later. Is it no wonder that human relationships not based on a solid foundation with God are more likely to fail? Yes, our world is changing, and our relationships are following suit. You may recall a few weeks ago, Nathan asked people to answer two questions written on small slips of yellow paper. Those questions were, what keeps you up at night? And what anxiety, worry, or concern most troubles you? Well, he and I put our heads together and divided them into four categories. The first 2 weeks, Nathan preached on health and wellness, and then money. And this week I will speak about relationships, and next week on purpose and meaning. Thank you to those who boldly shared what keeps them up at night. I honor the fact that it's not easy to share those things that bring us anxiety and worry. As human beings, we are in relationship with ourselves, with other people, with places and things. One cannot live in this world and not be in a relationship of some kind. Amen? We have a relationship to other human beings, to money, to our home and work, to our planet, our pets, our phones and computers, and to our church space here, where we come seeking a relationship with God, to just name a few. The relationships we have today are different than the relationships of 20 or even 30 years ago. As I said earlier, the face of relationships is changing because the world changes. But one thing is constant, and that is God never intended for us to be alone. From the very beginning, God's design was for us to have companions. Even God has never been alone. In the excerpts from Genesis read today, it is obvious that God was not alone when God created the heavens and the earth and all the creatures upon it. In Genesis 1:26, God uses the plural words us and our. If you didn't catch that first time, let me read it again. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, in our likeness. God was not alone then, and God is not alone now. The two creation stories include one with a singular God and one with a plural God. So who in the world makes up the us God speaks about? Well, the only explanation I came up with was, and it really is backed up scripturally, is that the us is the Trinity. It is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The word refers to Jesus, so we know that at least Jesus was with God from the beginning. And if Jesus was there, the Holy Spirit was too, because they're inseparable, yet individual. The Trinity is a relationship. So if we have a relationship with God, we have a relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit as well. Their jobs are different, but they are all aspects of God. I like to think of it, I can wrap my little brain around this, if I think about it in terms of various aspects of ourselves. Like, I'm a mother, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a pastor, I'm a therapist, I'm a girlfriend, I'm a friend, and many other things. Each of these aspects make up me, but also are separate in their roles. As a grandmother, I have a totally different role than a mother, or sister, or pastor. And each role I play is different from the other. Yet, we are all in relationship in one body, mine. The Trinity is the same. God is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Actually, the three members of the Trinity have many and various roles, but they are all in relationship in one God. So we can safely say that God with Jesus and the Holy Spirit created the heavens and earth and humankind. When I speak of God, understand that I'm also speaking of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's all inclusive. They are the same, yet different. It's a true mystery. But I think I digress a little here. Back to the yellow slips of paper. On those papers, there were expressions of troubled family relationships, desire for a partner, the difficulties experienced with an alcoholic partner, our relationship as a church to those who have less than we do, and the deep, heartfelt desire for an intimate relationship with God. Now, relationships at best are work. Would you not agree with that? Yeah. It's not easy to be in relationship with other people, whether they're family members, friends, partners, spouses, co-workers, or any other configuration. We are all different. We were born into or find ourselves in relationship with others who do not think, feel, or process the same way we do. And we don't always treat one another justly and with respect or grace. We all have heard or maybe have experienced some horror stories about the way siblings treat one another, how parents treat their children, and about the dysfunctional and destructive relationships of alcoholics and drug addicts within the family system. Friends sometimes betray friends. Lovers, partners, and spouses don't always see eye to eye. Co-workers can be difficult to get along with, and our bosses may be challenging. Sorry, Nathan. Well, maybe with the exception of Nathan. One thing, though, is for sure. Unless we go live alone in a cave somewhere without any human contact, we will always be in relationship with someone. If I were a betting woman, I would wager that most people in this room have had, one time or another, a struggle, a painful struggle, with one or more family members. It seems to be the exception that someone has never had such a struggle with a parent or someone in their extended family. Some of us have been physically, emotionally, and sexually abused by someone close to them. Some of us have been tortured and neglected, abandoned and unloved. Each of us has a story to tell about what we experienced as children from those who were supposed to protect us. Each story is unique, yet sadly similar. I hope that you can find the courage and strength to forgive those who hurt you so that you can release the baggage that you carry with you. Now, most of you know, except for the new people, that I am passionate about forgiveness and the healing that it brings. So you may not be surprised that I'm bringing forgiveness into a sermon on relationships. My belief is that forgiveness is a vital part of any healthy relationship. We must be able to forgive another and to release the hold that our painful past has on us. Be very assured, however, that forgiveness is not for the ones who hurt us and does not let them off the hook for what they did. Forgiveness is only for us and our freedom. And there is no relationship with another person that won't at some time need forgiveness for oneself, for the other person, or both. There are stories in this congregation about failed intimate relationships, or perhaps the inability to find a partner. There are stories about relational conflicts at work and with people we call friends. Amongst those stories are ones that are positive and successful, stories about people who've learned how to do relationship well. No matter where any of us fall in this story continuum, I guarantee, as the poem mentioned today, relationships teach us something about ourselves and about how to do relationship. As painful or beautiful as some relationships are, there's always something we can learn about ourselves and our ability to relate to one another. I'm pretty sure we could all name things we have learned from other people that we've been in relationship with. As many of you know, my relationship with my mother was painful and denigrating. I grew up with the knowledge that I would always be a failure, never amount to anything, and definitely unworthy of anything good happening in my life. I don't tell you this so that you'll feel sorry for me. I tell you this part of my story so you know that I understand where many of you have been or may still be. I don't have to tell you how easy it is for another to crush one's spirit. I have been in relationship with emotional and physical abuse because I lived it. I've been in relationship with trauma, shame, and fear from being raped as a young teenager. I have had an intimate relationship with failure because it was programmed into me. And I have had 4 failed relationships over the course of my lifetime. I even had a failed relationship with God. None of these relationships started out as failures. And anytime we get into relationship, it doesn't mean it will end badly or even end at all. But we know that some do. My relationship with my mother ultimately did not end badly. In her later years, she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's type dementia. She forgot who she had been. She forgot she didn't like me. And she forgot. That's a good thing. And she forgot about the things she had done to me. I was blessed as her dementia progressed because it gave me about 16 good years of relationship with her. I finally had a mother who really loved me. when she died 3 years ago tomorrow. I could honestly say I had loved my mother, and she had loved me for the last years of her life. And that, my friends, was a true blessing. As children, my brother and I were dressed to the nines, and maybe young people don't get that cliche, but dressed to the nines is getting all dressed up and everything, and taken to church as showpieces. I didn't find God there, nor did I really want to know God, because if there really was a God, I knew I wasn't worthy of being loved, let alone kept safe. So I closed my heart to any possibility of being in relationship with God, the God who was touted from the pulpit every Sunday. And as soon as I graduated from high school, I did not step foot in a church until my late 20s. It actually took a relationship with another couple to get me and my husband at the time into a church. These friends began going to a conservative Baptist church. And were inexplicably excited about this church and their newfound relationship with God. They kept bugging us about going to church with them. Finally, John and I decided that we would go once to get them off our backs. Now, the pastor preached fire and brimstone from the pulpit, and I was about ready to run for the door when he finally finished, and something very strange, at least strange to me, happened. He asked people to come up to the front, and someone would pray with us to bring Jesus into our hearts and lives. My first thought was, there was no way in you know where that I would ever do that. Besides, who would want to be in relationship with a God who would send you to hell for doing something wrong? No way. But what happened next took me by total surprise. I do not know to this day how it happened, but I found myself on my feet, walking up to the front of the church and being prayed for. After the prayer, I felt like a light switch had been turned on, and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God existed and wanted to be in relationship with me. Wow. Thank you, Hannah. I walked into that church ready to be bored to death, found myself wanting to bolt for the door, then discovered the love and grace of Jesus all in about an hour. When God wants you, God calls you and gets you there somehow. Needless to say, a relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit changed my life drastically. But after 9 years of teaching and praying and being an active member of another conservative Baptist church, I turned my back on God. From the pulpit of that church, I learned that I was an abomination in the sight of God, and I would go to hell. So when I came out and left the church, I was basically shunned. No one contacted me to find out where I was or where my children were. I was hurt to the core and decided that if God was going to turn away from me, then I would have nothing to do with God. So for 5 years, I ignored God. It just so happened, and everything is so synchronistic in this world, it just so happened that I was in a relationship with an alcoholic at the time. Talk about trauma and drama. This relationship had it all. But because of that, I found my way to Al-Anon. And as most of you know, the 12-step programs are based on a belief in God as we understand God and God's ability to care for us. It was in Al-Anon that I let go of the notion that God and God's people were one and the same. God never treats us less than lovingly and compassionately. God's people, on the other hand, can be cold, heartless, and mean. And I had experienced that firsthand when I left that Baptist church. But the lesson learned is I realized that I was totally mistaken in equating God with God's people. So I had a failed relationship with God for 5 years. Then our relationship was rekindled in Al-Anon, of all places. Going back to my experience in that First Baptist Church, I learned later that the act of going to the front to be prayed for was called an altar call. Now, we don't have an official altar call here, but if anyone desires a deep, intimate relationship with God or wishes to deepen that relationship, they only have to come expressing that heart's desire. God hears you and wants nothing more than to share that kind of relationship with you. I truly believe that the relationship we foster with God will teach us how to build strong relationships with one another, no matter what kind of relationship it is. God is continually calling us into relationship. These are not ramblings of a God who does not care for his or her people. These are calls of unconditional love to each of us. The example of how to be in relationship with God teaches us how to be in relationship with one another. Listen to what God is teaching us. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Forgive as you are forgiven. Love your neighbor as yourself. That one, by the way, is on the back of our MCC t-shirts. Maybe we should wear them in front. Honor your mother and father and spouse. Care for one another. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Take care of the sick and imprisoned. If one of you is lost, search until that one is found. And there's so many other examples of how to be in relationship with one another and how to hold one another up. Yeah, I think it's good sound advice if we are to have successful relationships. Now, we all know that our families can be brutal or loving and accepting. Our friends often only stay our friends if they earn our trust. Our love relationships can only survive if there is mutual respect, trust, and forgiveness. We can only stay together as a community here if we treat each one, whether we know the person or not, in the same way that we want to be treated. New people come every Sunday. We have a bunch of new people today. They are oftentimes scared to death because they have never stepped foot in a church, or they have not been in church for a long time and were treated poorly when they were. But somehow they gather the courage and strength and come through those doors for a reason. It could be that they're at the end of the rope, yet still grasping onto a tiny ray of hope that God loves them. One of our members said a few years ago that he came to this church wanting to die and found a reason to live. Why? Because God was present and welcoming amongst the congregation and began a relationship with him through the love expressed by you. People come here broken and find a place of healing. Why? Because you move alongside them and help them to heal. Maybe you've come here for years and still have not been able to believe in the unconditional love and acceptance of God, but something continues to draw you in the doors every Sunday. There are those, sisters and brothers, who are waiting in anticipation to help you find it. Why? Because we want to share the absolute joy we have found being in relationship with God. We are the voice, hands, and feet, and heart of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, who want nothing more than to be in loving, intimate relationship with each of us. Once we have found and embraced that relationship, our human relationships will blossom and grow and be filled up to overflowing with joy and peace. Joy is contagious. We need to share our joy with one another and help others to find that ultimately satisfying relationship with the God who created us and loves us unconditionally. Each of us is worthy of a close encounter and a relationship with the God of our understanding. Other relationships may come and go, but this one is constant. You can bet your life on it. My prayer for each of you is that you find a deep, intimate relationship with God, and then, if you wish, with another human being. Amen.